is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Every individual Christian begins to build their lives on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, completed that sermon, that great lesson, with this idea. Those who hear these sayings of mine and do them, they're likened unto a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. Those who fail to hear and do these things, like the foolish man building on the sand. So we begin to build our lives on the subject of faith, on the basic truth of faith. There's a formula that I've suggested in God's Word that's always been true and always will be, that faith in God plus obedience to what He has said has and will always result in our salvation. We have many examples of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, where the Hebrew writer there goes back and reflects upon the lives of so many individuals, but it all started with faith. It all started with the idea that I believe in God, and I believe that if I do what God says that He has told me to do, then I'm going to truly be blessed. And you have the faith of Abel. You have the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have the faith of Sarah. You have the faith of Moses when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And I think Paul mentions an important statement there in the Roman letter chapter 4, verse 12, where Paul says we ought to walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had even before the foundations of the world. Even before the covenant of circumcision was given, Abraham had a great faith. What kind of a faith did Abraham have? You know, Abraham had a very special type of faith. I believe that faith is more than just believing in God. Abraham not only believed in God, but he trusted God when God told him to get up and leave your homeland and go into a land that I'll show you. Abraham obeyed God in Genesis chapter 22 when God called upon him, Abraham, offer your son Isaac as a sacrifice. Scripture says that Abraham had enough faith in God to believe that if he took his own son's life, that God would raise Isaac up again. Yes, we need to learn the important lesson of faith and how it blesses our lives. For Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says we're justified by faith. Our justification comes beginning with the foundation of faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Truth number 2 from the Word of God. From the Corinthian letter, chapter 13, verse 1, without love, I am nothing. In chapter 12 of the Corinthian letter, Paul talks about the spiritual gifts that were given to Christians in Corinth, which enable them to go out and do certain things, speak in tongues, perform miracles, do various types of things. And some of them apparently were a little bit disturbed because they didn't receive as many gifts as others. Paul said, don't worry about it. He makes a comparison of the body of Christ to the human body. He said, the hand doesn't say to the foot, I don't need you. Every member of the human body is necessary. And he comes down to verse 22 and he says, even those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they are necessary. Yes, without love, I'm nothing. Paul says in chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing more than a lot of noise, a clinging cymbal, as the writer speaks there. He doesn't tell us the definition of love, but it tells us what love does there. Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34, spoke about the subject of love too, and he said, I'm going to give you a brand new commandment. A brand new commandment. Well, they already had the commandment from God to love God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Jesus gave them another one in the second. He said, love your neighbors yourself. But Jesus said, this is a brand new commandment. It's new in scope. What is this new commandment, Lord? That you love one another as I have loved you. This is very difficult to do. Greater love hath no man than this, the scripture says, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. When I think about that verse this morning, you know, I saw a picture of Wes Neely in the paper, one of the Lebanon papers, a Mount Jewett paper recently, and I thought he looked very handsome in that picture. But, you know, when you see Wes, you know he's a member of the police force. How do you know that? Because of his uniform. You go to the hospital and you see people running around with green outfits on. You know, they're medical technicians. Some of them may be doctors. Some of them may be nurses or whatever. Why do you know that? Because of their uniform. Christians ought to be known by their garments of love, which they display every day. Number three, from the book of James, chapter 2, James said, faith without works is dead, being alone. James said, you know, you say you have faith, prove it to me by your works. Prove it to me by your works. If you don't have works coupled with your faith is worthless. James said, show me your faith by your works. If someone comes to you and they are hungry and you just simply say to them, go be ye warmed and filled, and yet you don't provide those things that are necessary, do you really have faith? Certainly not. And so faith without works is dead, being alone. Again, James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, James chapter 1, verse 22. Those who hear the word of God, and you talk about faith in hearing the word of God, if you don't go out and do what the word of God tells you, you're just a hearer of the word. The one who's a doer of the word, James says, this man will be blessed in his deeds. And so we come to number four. Without holiness, no man can see God, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14. Without holiness, no one will ever see God. This morning, you and I need to be extremely grateful that God has given us a plan whereby we can be holy. When we look at our own lives, we have to come to one conclusion. As the prophet Isaiah said a long time ago, all of our righteousness are nothing more than filthy rags. But because, and this morning in our Bible class, we talked about John chapter 1, verse 17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we talked about the blessings that come as a result of God choosing to bless us with grace and truth, that Jesus' law and Jesus brought to us grace and truth. How fortunate we are, even as Gentile people today, because we went back to the Ephesian letter chapter 2 and discussed the condition the Gentiles were in prior to the Lord of the gospel coming to them, and God embracing them and allowing them to become a part of the kingdom of heaven or the church. Without this marvelous grace which came down through our Savior and God's Son Jesus, no one would ever have the opportunity to become holy. The Apostle Peter stated in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, that we need to be holy because God is holy. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. God has given us the means whereby we can be made holy, not by our own good deeds, but because of God's love and mercy and grace. What a great blessing God has bestowed upon His people to give us the opportunity to become a little bit like Him. I like what the Apostle Peter said. Christians have been made partakers of the divine nature. We're just a little bit like God, and we need to strive to maintain that relationship and that integrity as much as we possibly can, to strive to live like God and to be like God. Christian, the word Christian simply means Christ-like. And we talked about that this morning. The word only appears three times in the New Testament. But we need to be as much like Christ as we can, as much like God as we can. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no one will ever see God. Number five, without chastening, from the Hebrew letter chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, you're really not God's sons. No one really enjoys being disciplined from time to time. But the Hebrew writer says, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He chastens. And he said, you know, we had our fathers in the flesh who we respected, and they disciplined us. And I'll never forget one of my favorite programs on TV years and years ago was Leave It to Beaver. Beaver and I forgot what his brother's name was, but they went out one time canoeing, and the canoe turned over with them, and they got wet. And the father, whatever his name was, I think Wally was his other son, wasn't he? When Wally and Beaver came in and revealed what had happened, and they didn't reveal what had happened at that time, but a little bit later on, Beaver got sick with a cold, and then they had to confess what had happened. And his father said, you know, if you had told me that when it happened, I wouldn't be getting on you now. And Beaver said, I wish I'd known that then. So if we knew what was going on, you know, if we knew God was going to discipline, maybe we would be a little bit better. There's a passage over in the book of Ecclesiastes where the Ecclesiastes writer says, because an evil work, because a punishment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of men is determined to do evil continually. In other words, we think we got by with something today, we'll get by with it tomorrow. Eventually, be sure your sin will find you out. But God chastens those whom he loves, and we need to appreciate that. It's for our own good. Why does a father tell the son when he gets his driver's license, don't drive down the road 75 miles an hour on a two-lane highway? You know, looking out for your own good, and so God is looking out for our best interests. Number six, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. John identifies Jesus in John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. God allowed the Old Testament people to offer animal sacrifices to temporarily make atonement for their sins. But the Hebrew writer says it was never possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin, yet without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And then therefore the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 10 verse 1, the law having a sacrifice of good things to come could never with those sacrifices they offered yearly make the comers there too perfect. There was a remembrance made of sin every year. And so Jesus was the one who became the Lamb of God to permanently take away the sin of the world. What a great blessing. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And number seven, which is our final one this morning, without Christ, you can do nothing. From John chapter 15, Jesus gives a great lesson there in John 15. He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, you can do great things, but without me you can do nothing. I like the illustration there because the Old Testament is filled with scriptures that deal with the vineyards that were planted and the grapes that were produced and the fruit juice from those grapes and was, you know, made into wine. And it's just a normal thing that occurs in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father's the husbandman. It won't be long, probably a couple of 3 weeks, till individuals will be planting gardens, and that's a very special time of the year. I'm so grateful that God established in the very beginning in the book of Genesis seed time and harvest, the four seasons. I enjoy the four seasons. I think in the summertime, boy, I'd be glad when it cools off because it's so hot. And then I think in the wintertime when it gets down around zero, I'll be glad when it warms up. But God gives us four seasons, you know, to enjoy. And what a great blessing this is. But one thing that I've learned over the years from my involvement in planting and sowing and reaping and so forth is you got to stay attached to the vine. I'll enjoy my first tomato that comes off, but if I am running the tiller through that row of tomatoes and knock that one that's almost ripe off, you know, I'm going to have to either take it and let it ripen in the window, or it's going to decay one, because as long as we stay attached to the vine, as long as the fruit stays attached to the vine, it receives nourishment from the vine. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, without me, you can do nothing. You got to stay attached to the vine. I'm the vine and you're the branches. He wasn't talking about churches. He's talking about an individual. He that abides in me and I in him can do much. Without me, you can do nothing. Christ is our power. Christ is our strength. He is our mediator. He is our propitiation. He is our high priest. He blesses us in so many ways. And so we need to stay attached to that vine. Seven truths from the Word of God this morning that I think we can consider, and if we do, then we'll bless our lives. Moses told the people of Israel a long time ago in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, teach your children. Teach your children what? Teach them the Word of God. Teach them the law. Talk about it when you lie down, talk about it when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk in the way. Write it upon your homes. Let the Word of God become an everyday part of your life. And then when we do this, then the last verse that was read a moment ago, "Moreover, by them, by God's words, is thy servant warned, and the keeping of them there is great reward." This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity even today to accept that plan that will make you holy. Once you obey the simple terms of the gospel, believing in Christ, which is the foundation you begin to build on, your faith, being willing to repent of sins, confess Him before men, and be baptized in water, will result in your being forgiven of all past sins, give you the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you can go on your way rejoicing because you've been made holy today. Then you have the responsibility to strive each day of your life to walk in the light as He's in the light, to enjoy this continued cleansing and continue this holiness without which no one can ever see God. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning while Dan leads our invitation song, we encourage you to come.